You're listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. My name is Lynn, and our phone number here for Stop Feeding the Predators is area code 614-403-4545. And I want to make sure everyone knows that whoever you are, whatever your circumstances, you are welcomed and encouraged to call in. You may give us topics, what you'd like to hear more about. You may tell us what you're tired of hearing about and give us some critiques. And you can also call and share with us what you want us to do. If you think that we should be doing more help in a certain category or you want to hear a certain topic, if you're in need of some support, some help, some guidance, some resources, no matter where you are, if you're able to make that phone call, we will be able to find you some kind of resource, some kind of help. And of course, we always are willing to listen to whatever you have to say as far as our show, as far as our website, as far as our Facebook page, and so on. I wanted to talk today about power and control. Our wonderful, wonderful radio producer at City of Angels Recovery Radio and I had a discussion about me being a control freak. And she was not the one who brought it up. I was the one who confessed to it immediately and said, I know that's part of what's my problem. And she was very helpful, very insightful, was able to help me see where sometimes that's a good thing and sometimes that's a bad thing. Not necessarily a bad thing, but an annoying thing. And I told her, okay, power and control over. That's going to be the topic of the show. So tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about power and control. If you are a control freak, you probably already know it. You may not know what to do about it, or you may feel that it's working very well for you and you have no interest in changing. It might be fun and interesting to listen anyway. If you do not know that you are a control freak, I use the phrase control freak in a loving way. You may have family members who feel like they can't do anything right. And I'll give you some examples of that later. But power and control can be a wonderful thing, and it can change lives, it can guide families to safety, it can do all kinds of wonderful things. It can also be the downfall of a family. And the difference between those two scenarios is who has the power and how are they controlling? I'd like you first, we'll start with the easy one, rape. Rape is about power and control. It is not about sex. It is not about romance. I have never read 50 Shades of Grey, but I have heard all of the hoopla about it. And it seems to me that in that scenario, somebody has power over someone else to a humiliating degree. Again, I haven't read it, so not going to comment a whole lot more. But rape is about power and control. And I have a lot of people say, you know, when a little kid is raped, I mean, I could never look at a little kid that way. I don't understand where these people come from. I don't understand how you could look at a little kid like that. And I explained to them, it's not about a sexual preference for children. It is the adult saying within their own head that their own personal need for sexual gratification is greater than the child's right to be respected and left alone. And by left alone, I mean honored, not touched, not harmed. And if you think rape is about sex, you are very misguided. Sex is about sex. And rape is about, this is what I want it now, and I want it like this. That's not sex. Control freak or a controlling person might be somebody who's feeling like they need to be in control at all times. It could be that they feel like they need to be in control so something bad doesn't happen. Maybe in their past they've had bad circumstances, they've had traumatic things happen, they've had stuff happen that they haven't known how to deal with. Maybe things came up suddenly, and it might not even have been in their personal life. It may have been something that they witnessed. But sometimes controlling people are that way because they are fearful that something will happen if they don't make it happen, prevent it from happening, stay in charge, stay on top of things, tell everybody who, when, what, where, why, and how. And if my family's listening to this, they're like, yeah, Mom, that's you. A controlling person oftentimes has a need for sameness, for a consistency. I'll give you a good example. This is prime Lynn control freak example. My husband, my children, and I took turns unloading the dishwasher, and the glasses that we had had very pretty floral patterns on them, on the front and back. Now, if you think about a glass, it's round, and I said the flowers were on the front and back. I didn't say they were on both sides. So in my controlling mind, when I opened the kitchen cupboard, I expected to see all of the flowers on the front of the glass facing me. It made me nuts if the flowers were sideways. And some people listening are going to say, Lynn, you're a nut job. Absolutely agree with you on this one. Absolutely agree. It's a glass, it's clean, and somebody was polite enough to put it in the cupboard instead of leaving it in the dishwasher for me to unload. Instead of having gratitude, I had stress. And it wasn't imaginary stress. It wasn't just a reason for me to complain. It genuinely bothered me. It actually caused me stress. It caused me anxiety because it wasn't consistent. It wasn't the way it's supposed to be. If the flowers are on the front and back, then the flowers should all be lined up, one in front, one in the back. Glasses, mugs that have handles on the side, their handles are on the side. They should all be facing the same direction. I mean, stupid stuff like that that made me nuts. And worse than making me nuts and making me have anxiety about it is I made my family crazy. Instead of, like I said, instead of being appreciative that they unloaded the dishwasher, I would stand there and straighten all the glasses. I would have to take them out so I could reach the ones in the back, and I would straighten all the glasses so all the flowers were in the front again. And it was beyond unappreciative when I did that. It was the implication that they couldn't do it right, that they somehow weren't good enough, that they didn't measure up to my standards for being able to unload a dishwasher. And that's a pretty awful message to send to your children and to a husband who's willing to unload the dishwasher. You know, if you think about it, someone's doing something that our family agreed was part of my job to be doing. Now, don't get into the whole, you know, man and little woman at home kind of thing. This was what our family agreed of how our lives were going to work. I was going to be the one who unloaded the dishwasher and ran the dishes and all that. It was agreed upon. So when someone else took the initiative to unload the dishwasher, I should have been incredibly grateful. They saved me time, and they knew unloading the dishwasher was something that they could do quickly and be done. And if I did it, I stood there straightening all the flowers, and it took me longer. So they saved me even more time. That's just a bizarre and real example of being a controlling person. A healthy, non-controlling person would have been appreciative, glad that someone else unloaded the dishwasher, would have thanked them. I remember yelling out, "Thank you, whoever unloaded the dishwasher, but the flowers are all everywhere, so I'll fix it." The arrogance of me to be that way. And I hope people listening, I hope some people can relate. I know that I'm not the only one who's like this, because I've talked to other people who have confessed to being in a similar way. But I overemphasize the point of how incredibly stupid that is to even care which way the flowers are facing. We didn't have company often. And if we did, we usually gave them, you know, a glass. They didn't open our cupboards. So no one in the world except Lynn cared which way these stupid flowers were facing. And no one in the world had any anxiety or stress over them facing the wrong way except Lynn. Now, if you pretend that you are Spock from Star Trek, the logical thing is to realize that Lynn is the one with the problem, because no one else is bothered by any of this. They're annoyed when I don't thank them, and they're annoyed when I thank them and then throw it back in their face that my opinion is that they did it wrong. But the thing that needs fixed in this scenario is Lynn. I didn't get fixed, but I found a solution. My husband left for reasons I'm not going to go into. Everybody knows why. And one of the very first things I did was I got rid of all of the glasses that had flowers on them. And from then on, me and the kids only used glasses that were either clear or had the same exact design the entire way around the glass. Problem solved. Not really. I could stop being a control freak, because that was the problem. But I felt that by getting clear glasses, I could be appreciative. It wouldn't make me crazy. And I suppose on some levels, that was the best solution. But again, a better solution is to not be a nut about it and to let it go. And we'll talk more about that later. Sometimes controlling people have to know what to expect next. I've taken classes and trainings about children and infants, especially toddlers. They like knowing what comes next. You talk to any child that's able to communicate well, and you ask them, "Tell me what your day is like." And they can tell you, "I get up in the morning, I have breakfast, I watch this show on TV, I play with my dog, and they will have their day, a set what happens next. I remember when I was a kid, I would watch Sesame Street, Mr. Rogers, and I knew I only had so much time I was allowed to watch TV, and then I had to go do something else. And it didn't matter if a new show that I'd never seen before was coming on after what I was allowed to watch, time's up. And I knew that. And there wasn't a fight or a fuss. And I might say, you know, "I'd really like to watch that show. Maybe sometime I can watch that instead of one of the other shows." And again, children like knowing what to expect next. It doesn't mean that they're always going to have oatmeal every single day of their life. You know, I get up, I eat my oatmeal. It doesn't have to be the exact same thing every time. But consistency of, "I get up, I have breakfast." You know, maybe it's oatmeal, maybe it's cereal, maybe it's pancakes, maybe it's leftover pizza, maybe it's, you know, cold chicken leg, whatever. But humans are creatures of habit, and we like very much knowing what is going to happen next. And sometimes, as a controlling person, I would have to, in my mind, force what comes next. I would set up rigid schedules. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do next. And if something more fun came up, being a controlling person, I would make the controlling decision that we would alter our plans for today and do this instead. Because again, I needed to know what came next. Very, very 3 years old of me. The other thing I like to talk about is kids versus adult in power struggles. I don't know of any parent in the world who hasn't at some point felt themselves to be involved in some kind of conflict with a child. And when that power struggle happens between the adult and the child, it can be a make or break of the what happens next part. If I had made my children come back in the kitchen and turn all the glasses so that the flowers are all facing the right way, I'm powerful, I win, I got my way. But I've also taught my children that what they do doesn't matter unless they do it up to a certain standard. That their help, that their kindness doesn't count unless they do it the way I want it. And that's a really awful message to send to my kids. I may have asked my husband to redo the glasses a time or two, but I don't believe I ever asked the kids to. I'm sure if they're listening, they will let me know. But think about watching children play together. And you can see sometimes power struggles between children, especially if they have a controlling parent at home. Because they have learned, no, you're doing it wrong. You know, how many kids have said that? And most likely, the child only knows one way to do thing. Again, because they stick with that same over and over and over patterns of behavior. So you don't watch Sesame Street before you eat breakfast. You eat breakfast and then you watch Sesame Street. And if you do it the other way, that's wrong. And it's not wrong, it's what they're used to. And if we can help children understand flexibility, we won't have those power struggles when they're older of, no, you said if I ate one more bite, I could leave the table. No, I said if you finished your green beans, you can leave the table. No, you said one more. I mean, it's that kind of power struggles. And when we fight with our children over power of something, what they're doing or how they're doing it, we take away learning from them a new way to do it. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard the expression, you know, building a better mousetrap. And if I insist that everybody does everything the way I've always done it, I'm not going to learn that there's a new, faster, better, easier way to accomplish it. As stupid as this sounds, we also had an argument about folded bath towels. And I've been in the same house for 26 years. For the very first time in my life, I found a different way to fold the bath towels that they still fit in the cabinet. And that was the argument. You have to fold them this way because if you don't, they don't fit in the cabinet. And everybody thought I was just being mean and controlling by insisting that they're folded this one certain way. Well, true, I was, but this one actually had some validity to it. If you didn't fold the towels this way, they weren't all going to fit in the closet, the door wouldn't shut, and it created a problem. So first time in 26 years, I folded towels a different way, and they still fit in the closet. Now, I'd like parents, people, anyone who's a control person like me, with five children, the odds are pretty good that if I asked them if they could find a different way to fold the towels so that they'd still fit in the closet, they'd have come up with it years ago. But it's taken me 26 years to figure it out. Power struggles between adults and children is about ego. I confess that wholly, firsthand. And oftentimes, power struggles between adults is also about ego. Yes, there's that fear of what if we do it wrong? What if I let you help me and you don't do it the way I thought it should be done. Of course, there are certain things like that. And I'm not talking about safety issues, you know, in the cases of, you know, fire or EMT, medical or anything like that. I'm talking about just anything, board meetings, trying to complete a project together. The bottom line is, this is what we need to accomplish, and who knows how we can accomplish that. Give us some ideas. It's real easy to say, here's what we're going to do, here's how we're going to accomplish it, here's what you need to do, I need you to do that, and you to do this. That kind of control is critical in situations of police, fire, medical. In emergency situations, it is best for one person to take command of whatever the scenario is and be in control of who does what, when, and how. Because if not, especially in crisis situations, people either freeze, they run, or they try to figure it out for themselves and create chaos for each other because you have multiple people doing multiple different ways of doing the same thing. And nothing gets accomplished because you have five people doing this and nobody doing that. The good news is, when you're a controlling person, whether you want to admit it's your ego or not, it can be stifling, it can be overwhelming, it can lead to depression, it can lead to feelings of inadequacy, because when I'm the one who decides how it's done, and I'm the one complaining and stressed out when it's not done the way I said, I feel like I don't matter, I feel like no one's listening to me, I feel like nobody cares if the flowers are in the front or on the side. But that's something that stresses me out, and it's something that I care about, and it's something that I want done a specific way. So when people don't listen to a controlling person, it can make the controlling person feel vulnerable, unloved, uncared for, unrespected. So I caution people to look at how you interact with others. Are you a controlling person? Do you feel like there's only one way to do everything that you know how to do? And I would encourage all right-handed people who are controlling people, the next time you brush your teeth with your left hand. It's not going to be as thorough because you're not used to it. But when you try to prove me wrong that it is going to be the same thing, it's going to be as thorough, you might end up doing a better job than if you did it right-handed because you're concentrating to make sure you get between the teeth and every tooth and front and back and all that. But when we let go of our control issues, when we allow someone else to teach us a new way to do something, we help that other person blossom. And we show them respect and appreciation for what new idea, new way they've brought to us. If you think about the most controlling person in the world, and I'm going to get a little philosophical on you here, whether you believe in God or not, according to the Bible, God gives humans free will. So again, I'm not saying if you believe in God or if you don't, that's the topic. I'm saying that in many people's minds, God is the all-knowing, everything, created everything, can wipe us off the face of the planet at a whim. The everything. The most controlling source in the world. And God gives us free will. he allows us to decide if we're going to make our family nuts by complaining about glasses with flowers. And when he lets us do that, we either become really annoying, as I was, we become great leaders, such as police, fire, soldiers, or we struggle constantly to control our environment and fail often and feel defeated and become depressed. So if you're a controlling person, if certain things have to be a certain way, if you can't stand to continue using that roll of toilet paper that someone else put on the roll for you, the holder for you, if you can't stand to finish off that roll of toilet paper without flipping it over to quote-unquote the right way for it to unroll, you may be a controlling person. And you may be making yourself crazy. So I would encourage you to look at some of your behaviors. You're more than welcome to call me up, say, Lynn, tell me more crazy stuff you did because you're pretty weird. That's all right. I got stories to share and they're all goofy. And they all are how I've learned to be a healthier person by not really making fun of myself of what I've done, but acknowledging how insane it is. Nobody cares where the flowers are on the glasses. If it's that big a deal, don't put the glasses in the cupboard. You know, if they're that pretty, set them out. Look at them all the time. Power struggles, power and control, controlling behavior, ego. It can be used for good, it can be used for bad. I would encourage everyone who's listening, who wonders if they are a controlling person, take a look at your life. Take a look at your family, friends, coworkers, whoever it is that is in your life that you might be making crazy. And ask them, do I make you nuts when I complain about this, that, or whatever? It's a really big world. And when the most controlling being doesn't control us, what kind of nerve or ego do I have to think that I should be able to control you? Okay. It's time to let go. I promise you are not going to fall off the planet by releasing control over some silly things. Clearly, if you're driving a car, do not let go. Hold the steering wheel firmly. But if you are doing something as silly as I was about the glasses, find another way or let it go. I couldn't let it go, so I changed the glasses. You've been listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio, and healing starts here.